This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com with Scott Eklund. Time for another edition of Dogman Radio and just some recruiting updates. It's been a busy, busy week with commitments, new offers going out. Football camp is going to be starting just right around the corner, probably at some point next week, I believe Tuesday, but I think they report on Friday. But it's going to be a busy week. We'll also touch bases on the numbers and what's going to be going on in the next 30 days. But Scott, it's been a busy week in recruiting. If I would have told you a week ago that there would have been three commits in the week, what would you have said?
Probably would have said no, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's funny because people were all wound up about Cade Otton and Stanford and even Oregon State. Ryan Otton. I'm going to do the same thing with him as I did with Desmond Trufant. But Ryan Otton, of course, you know, was down to Stanford, and Oregon State was kind of out there as well. And people were getting a little nervous. And boy, people just seem to be a little on edge with recruiting lately, but Ryan Otton just went ahead and pulled the trigger late last week.
Yeah, by the way, you mentioned that there were three commits. There was only two this weekend or this last week, but
that's
still
right.
good pickups. One of them, if you're looking at the commit list, one of them shows 7:30, so you might have thought that was him, but Jeremy Bernard actually had committed a year ago on 7:30. So,
right.
So Ryan Otton commits. He's out of Tumwater. Name should obviously sound familiar. His brother Cade is a All-American candidate at the University of Washington, 6'6", 225. If you saw the picture that Chris Fetters posted of them, from their, I think it was Twitter, maybe might've been Instagram. I don't know where it was from, but, Ryan is already taller than Cade and, probably still has another year's worth of growth. He's 6'6", 225. A lot of people say that he's a better athlete than Cade was coming out of high school. Cade was just the better football player, like pure football player coming out of high school.
Little brother, and got a little bit of catching up to the older brother. But I thought, you know, when I've seen him, he looks a little bit bigger. He's not as bulked up right now, but he's got a little ways to go. I don't think he's going to have any problems getting up to 240, 245, and maybe even 250 would be the ideal weight. But with that added height, he's going to be a force, especially down in the red zone come time, you know, when he's ready to be inserted in the lineup. Maybe give me a little bit of a scouting report on I'm going to keep on doing this.
Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. Give me a little bit of a scouting report on Ryan.
Yeah, he's big and can run. He really has just started to figure out how to, you know, be in his body because he grew so fast, so early. He looked like a, you know, I think you've compared it to those deer that come out and they're all legs and they can't walk. And it takes them a little bit to get used to being able, but then when they finally figure it out, they can run really fast. They're athletic and all those things. And that's kind of Ryan. He's not a guy who's going to put up a lot of numbers stat wise. Same with his brother, because Tumwater runs the wing T offense. So he's gotten a lot of practice blocking. He's done a lot of end line blocking, and that's good. He down blocks quite a bit on defensive ends in high school, but he's going to have to bulk up. He's only 225 pounds now. He's going to have to bulk up, you know, and just like any high schooler, this isn't negative on him, but he's going to have to bulk up in order to be able to take on defensive ends who are 240 to 280 nowadays in college football. And we'll just have to see how he handles things and how quickly he grows into that frame of his. But as far as his rating, he's the top rated player in Washington's recruiting class. He's a 0.9202. He's a top 200 player in the country, number 6 tight end in the country, and number 4 in the state. So Talented kid, really good get for Washington. And make no mistake, and everybody thinks this should have been a layup, it was not a layup by any stretch of the imagination. Stanford did everything they could to get Ryan in the boat. And trust me, Oregon State, I know people would poo-poo it normally, but Oregon State, I'm not saying they were a major player. I still think Washington and Stanford were the final two for him. But Oregon State was a school that people needed to keep an eye on because they did a really good job of selling him on playing there and the offense that Jonathan Smith likes to run. And I don't know who's his quarterback's coach there or his offensive coordinator there. I don't know who it is, but.
Oh, the guy from Idaho, Ryan Lindgren.
Lindgren. Okay. Well, yeah.
Brian Lindgren.
Yeah. So, you know, they like to use a tight end quite a bit. He would have been featured different ways and he's got some friends who are already going to school there. So I don't think Oregon State was a major player, like I said, but I think they were a team that kind of snuck in there and could have been a dark horse for him, but ended up being Washington, Stanford, and he chose Washington, and I doubt he even wavers one bit.
And you can't underestimate or undervalue the family that he comes from. I mean, just an outstanding family, football royalty in the state with his grandfather, with his father. Mom is a big-time athlete, and when you talk to Cade, he's
and his uncle. His uncle,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, he's as quality of a human being as you ever want to have. And, you know, when I was talking about some of the other schools that are out there recruiting guys, you know, come to Washington, you know, down at Media Day, talking to Jackson Kirkland, talking to Trent McDuffie. I mean, they're as good as it's going to get. And I think Ryan Auten is another one of those just poster children for the type of kid that Washington really wants to bring in.
Yeah, absolutely. He eats, breathes, sleeps football. He loves to play the game. He's athletic. He's a basketball player, so he's a dual sport athlete, and coaches always love those guys. And definitely a guy that Washington needed to get in the boat, and they did.
I kind of equate him a little bit to Ryan Bowman, you know, who grew up in the shadow and getting pretty much, you know, rough and tumbled with his older brother, Shane. And, you know, I'm guessing Ryan's been knocked around a little bit by Cade in his life.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure any good older brother, as an older brother, any good older brother makes his younger brother tougher. And that's what I'm sure he did. Yeah.
I remember talking to John Brockman about his brother, Paul, who was a couple years older, and Paul was a heck of a player. He just had some injuries that derailed his career. But, you know, just those two, and they'd come down the hallway and Paul would just knock into him, and they just, you know, mom and dad were just getting tired of it because when those two would hit the walls, you know, dents would happen in the sheetrock. So I like a little younger brother.
Yeah, now I wasn't as big as John Brockman and his brother, and neither was my brother, but we definitely put some holes in walls as well ourselves.
Yeah. So another one that we pretty much saw coming, but, you know, once TJ Hall was offered by Washington, he was a commit to Oregon. He's a corner.
He was commit to Arizona.
What did I say?
Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Arizona, but he was committed to Arizona. He's the body type profile that Jimmy Lake really likes back in the defensive secondary.
Absolutely. And he's a guy who he looks like a young Keith Taylor to me. He's 6'2". He's about 190 pounds, can play corner and even safety. And a lot of people, if you remember when Keith Taylor committed, granted it was on Christmas Eve. Do you remember that one, Kim?
Oh, yeah.
That was early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he committed it over a year before he could sign. He was one of the earliest commits to Washington, I think, at that point. For any class, you know, no one had ever committed that early to the University of Washington. So he commit. But anyway, a lot of people thought that Keith Taylor could wind up as a safety once he got to college, but he ended up being a boundary corner, which is the side that they're closest to. So he doesn't have as much field to cover and can be more of a lockdown and a guy who can play that zone that they like to run so many times nowadays. And this guy looks exactly the same skill set. And, you know, I really liked him a lot. I'm surprised he doesn't have more offers, to be honest with you. He was supposed to be up at Oregon's SNL, their Saturday Night Live camp event, and we're going to talk about that here in a second for another guy that we need to talk about. But he was supposed to be at that. He didn't go and ended up committing to Washington instead and is the only defensive back in the class so far, and Washington's only going to take two, maybe three, depending on which guys want to throw their hat in the ring. So keep an eye on that, but definitely a nice get, even though he didn't have a ton of high-end offers. He had Arizona State. I think he had Oregon State, maybe one or two other Pac-12 schools, and then a lot of Mountain West schools that were after him.
And I think this is another guy that they can project a little bit. You know, when you take a look at guys that, you know, are the same height and have the same dimensions as him, their floor might be a little bit higher at this point in time. They're a little bit more developed, where a guy like this may not be as far along in his development. But when you have the body traits that he has, and you have the toughness and the off-field character, and all of that lines up, that's what you're looking for. And like I said, you know, you look at the upside, and they can teach him the right way. He may not have the bad habits yet, so he may not be as rated as high, but he sure seems to fit the profile of what these guys want, Scott.
Yeah, he absolutely does. He great ball skills. That's that and his football instincts, coverage instincts, really jumped out at the film on me. I mean, he's long and athletic, and you can see that right away too. But the two biggest things that stuck out for me was how he would come off of his receiver and make a play on a ball that on a pass that was thrown to an underneath route, or he would be able to plant and then drive on the ball and make a play, either a pick or knock the ball down. So a guy that can do a lot of different things for you in the secondary, and it's really going to be how he grows, how he fits into things. He looks like Dominic Campton, Keith Taylor, those bigger corners coming in. But maybe he decides that playing safety is going to be a better fit for him, and Washington's coaches agree. So we'll just have to see. He's being projected at corner right now, but I really think he could end up playing safety before it's all said and done.
I just remember saying that Keith Taylor could morph into a safety, and boy, I riled some people up on that. I got so many instant messages, you know, from people who know Keith real well. He's a corner. He's not a safety. He's a corner.
I remember seeing his dad at practice, and he came over and talked to us and just was talking about how he was so glad that everybody understood. You know, I remember his dad saying, you know, everybody thought he was going to be a safety, but we all told everybody he was going to be a corner, and now he's getting drafted by the Panthers, you know, and good for him. Good for Keith. I've been watching some video over there. I've been watching the NFL Network to see the Huskies who are in their rookie camps and everything like that. And really excited to see some of these guys get out and play and what they're able to do. Elijah Molden's had a good camp. Jake Browning over the weekend had a really good showing in practice. And a lot of people say he's the definite number two guy. So should be fun to watch this NFL season as well as the Husky football season.
All right, hot potato, I'm throwing it in your lap. You make the call, Scott. Do you want to talk about Ben Roberts now or leave it to the end of the podcast?
No, either way. Might as well do it now. Might as well do it right now.
You don't want to torment and tease people?
No, that's your job. You're the person who does that on staff.
You're no fun. Anyways, Ben Roberts is a defensive line commitment, has some ties up here in the Tacoma area, lived up here for quite a long time, and sometimes it doesn't take much of a spark to really ignite people on the site. And he was at Oregon this weekend for their Saturday Night Live event. Fill people in a little bit. First of all, who Ben Roberts actually is, how good he is, and why was he at Oregon?
So Ben Roberts, 6'4", 290 pounds. He's a defensive lineman, plays interior D-line, but he can move out and play some defensive end at times too. For East High School out of Salt Lake City, if that name sounds a bit familiar, it's where Sam Taki-Taimani is from, Jordan Lolohea, and freshman defensive end, defensive tackle, Voy Tanufi were all from there. And Washington is, you know, I remember joking with Coach Malloy. I want to say it was last year at some point. Not last year. It was because it was the last time we interviewed them in person. And so it'd be 2019. And I remember just saying, man, what is it with you guys in East Side or East High School down there in Salt Lake City? And he just said, yeah, he goes, I've always had a great relationship with that staff when I was at Utah State. They feel comfortable sending their guys here. And that's why Washington has done so well there. So when East has a kid coming out, and Washington really likes him, they go after him hard, and they usually get him. And Ben Roberts is that guy. He's from Tacoma originally, spent the first, I think it was 10 years, maybe 9 years of his life there. Has a lot of family still in the Tacoma area. His dad and mom and family moved down to Utah because of a job. I think it was a job situation. But anyway, he's still got strong ties. When you see his phone number, it's a 253 phone number still. So, you know, it's – he's a guy who has been committed to Washington since right after his official visit on 6/27, and I kind of broke it down to everybody last night what was going on, and or at least what I knew about what was going on, and it sounds like Washington's going to have to hose him off a little bit, but I still think that he's going to end up signing with Washington.
Why was he there?
Well, he went there with a group of his kids from his school, but you know, whenever people want to blow that stuff off, but it's not always the case, because he doesn't have to go. You know, I mean, this is a choice he made. Now, maybe I'm not saying Oregon did this, so any Oregon fans, and I know lots of them listen to our podcast, I'm not saying that Oregon laid some ultimate made him down, but Oregon probably just said, "Hey, coach, you know, bring your kids, but we want Ben to come with them." And I think they probably convinced Ben to come, and so that these other kids could get some exposure at camp and everything like that. So we'll just have to see. But I know that there was several kids that were there. He didn't take part in camp. He just went and visited and spent time with the coaches and spent time, you know, watching drills and everything like that. And yeah, so that's the last intel that I have as of what time is it? You know, 9 o'clock this morning was the last time I heard.
So you're just going to be totally dismissive of my take on it.
Your take was that he was recruiting for Washington. Well, kind of hard to recruit when you're being taking pictures with with all the Oregon stuff on. I mean, it's kind of hard to recruit for Washington at that point in time.
Well, I kind of like conspiracy theory.
So, yeah, I think I chuckled when I saw you write that. But, the coaches down there do a really good job. They're super aggressive with kids. It's not the same approach that Washington uses. And I think that's one thing that puts people on edge. They're really into I don't want to call it sizzle, because they do have a lot of really good, a lot of really good players that they recruit and things like that. And so people are really on edge about Oregon. And then when one of Washington's top commits ends up taking a visit down there, I get why people are a little worried about it, but you know, I mean, I laid it out why I don't think that people need to worry so much about Ben Roberts. He grew up in this area. Washington was the school that he grew up watching and rooting for. He has family in this area. He has three friends, very good friends on the team already, in Lolo, Hea, Tanufi, and Taimani. And Taimani's like an older brother to him. And then throw in the fact that Ryan Otten told me that when he committed on Friday, guess who the first text that he got was from? It was Ben Roberts, and he said, "Welcome to the family." Okay? So I'm not saying he can't flip, because it's recruiting. Anything can happen. But it would just floor me to find out that he decommitted and ended up at Oregon.
New offers going out, maybe a couple of new names. You hinted at that, Scott. What's going to be happening on the next 30 days, and where are we at on the numbers? All of that and more when we return. It's the guys from Dogman.com on Dogman Radio.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
We're back. I'm Kim Grenolds along with Scott Eklund. Dogman Radio special, just a recruiting edition. Expect more podcasts from us coming up real shortly as camp is just around the corner. But Scott, new offer went out last week and kind of raised some eyes. But tell us a little bit about the new offer for the wide receiver that went out last week.
Yeah, Denzel Boston. He's a kid out of Emerald Ridge High School down in Puyallup. Actually, I had seen him play, his brother play a couple times when he was still a youngster. I think he was junior high or high school, or, you know, just a freshman in high school when I saw him play. But you could tell Denzel had a lot of athleticism. He's a little over 6'3". I think they had him at 6'3.5" at Washington's camp, 192 pounds. I'm sorry, 182 pounds. And, you and Chris and I were out there. That was one of the hottest days of the year. I think, what was it? What did he get to that day? 106 or whatever it was?
82.
Yeah, nice try. It was like 106 degrees out there, and he's out there running around, and he looked like one of the best wide receivers of the group, and there were some pretty talented kids out there. and liked what I saw out of him. He's long. He's lanky. He can run really good routes. He's got decent speed. He's not a burner. He's not going to run by you on a regular occasion. But he can go up and get it. He's really good when the ball is in the air. Soft hands, really strong hands too, and can come down with it in the crowd. Washington obviously liked him, and he's got offers from a few schools right now, but I think Washington's the school to keep an eye on.
Scott, what stood out to me is he got offered after what they saw at camp. And ideally, yeah. I think that's what they would like to do with every offer. They had him in camp, and they didn't – I mean, when you're talking about camp, they're not just talking about him out running drills, catching passes, but they had him in the film room, they had him in the chalk talks, and they had him, you know, for a while to get to know him on campus. And they must have – it wasn't right after camp either. They did their due diligence. They did their homework. But to me, if they're offering a kid out of camp, that speaks volumes and says a lot.
Yes, and he's not a guy that they had to go on right away. If they didn't want to, if they didn't like him, they didn't have to go on him right away, but they did. They decided to go on him. And I think they want to get him in the boat before the season starts. He's got offers from Washington State, Arizona, Arizona State, and Eastern, where his brother is an absolute, stud for the Eagles. And he's a better athlete than his brother and bigger. So, really good offer, really good kid, comes from a good family. And I would be shocked if he doesn't wind up a Husky when it's all said and done.
Yeah, the question I've been asked a couple of times, I can't remember the kid's name because I'm terrible at names, but how does he compare, you know, give me a side-by-side why they went with him as opposed to the kid at Rainier Beach, the tall receiver at Rainier
Beach. Oh, yeah, Green, Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, right.
Yeah, and well, Jalen Green's taller, but he's skinnier. He looks much more like a basketball player, although he's gotten thicker over the last year or so, but definitely still looks like a basketball player to me. I think it's more of just him being a little bit more polished and a little bit more explosive than Jalen Green was. He's a guy who runs better routes and is a little bit more refined in that way.
You mentioned before we did the podcast, you know, that you might have a couple of other names or maybe a couple of other tidbits to throw in.
Yeah, one guy that I think a lot of people were wondering about, they posted a story on him. He did an unofficial visit during the last week, and that was for Max Reese. He's a tight end out of, I think it's Illinois. His uncle is Robert Jordan. Do you know who that – or Roberto Jordan.
Jordan,
you know who that
Roberto
is, right?
Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, he's number 3 or 4 in all-time on Washington's interceptions list. He was a 2-time All-Pac-12 guy. Really, that's the biggest reason he's interested in Washington is just his family's history with the program. And he came out and visited, loved every second of it. He said they were waiting for a tight end commit, and they would kind of see where things stood with him. He's more of a wide receiver than a tight end at this point, but I think they project him eventually to come in as a tight end. Washington probably isn't going to offer because Ryan Auten has made his commitment and they already had Chance Bogan on the team. But don't be surprised if he's a guy that they I don't even know if they have gray shirts anymore, but maybe they try and gray shirt him or because they have more room in the 2023 class if he's willing to wait. But he's a guy to keep an eye on. That's a name to put in the back of your head. Kid who really likes Washington. He's about 6'3", 220 pounds, 215 pounds, something like that. Told me that he said if Washington offers, that's where I'm going. But he might still even have a chance to be a walk-on if he doesn't get the kind of offers he's looking for and wants to come to Washington and play some football.
Any other guys? Any other tidbits to drop? Tight end Walker Lyons was on campus.
Yeah. There's okay. So and we're gonna get into the numbers here in a second, but Washington didn't have a lot of spots left in the 2022 class. So the coaches have definitely been on some 2023 guys. I don't know. You know, I saw somebody predict on the board that they think it's gonna be a while before 2023 guys start signing up. It might be into the season. Maybe they, you know, if Washington were to get a big win over Michigan in week 2, maybe kids start saying, hey, this Husky team is something to keep an eye on and things like that. But yeah, 2022 Walker Lyons is a guy that they've offered out of that class already. They've got a lot of other offers out to some really talented kids that have offers from all over the place. I mean, they have really been aggressive with 2023 guys. Jaden Lemar, The running back prospect out of Lake Stevens was up this weekend. They have offers out to two more running backs, but Lemar is their top guy, and I think they really want to get him in the boat as early as possible. Other guys that they're, I mean, they have made six offers out to 2023 tight ends. Deuce Robinson out of Pinnacle in Phoenix, Mac Markway out of DeSmet out of St. Louis, Missouri. He's already committed to Florida, but they made an offer to him. Riley Williams out of Central Catholic. He was up here in June. Really talented kid. Walker Lyons, like we said, out of Folsom, 6'4", 230. Jackson Bowers is a guy that plays for Mountain View High School down in Mesa. And one of our guys on our board, Drew Dogg, coaches him and knows him pretty well. Said this kid is just now tapping into his potential. 6'5", 225, another top 200 player. And then Cooper Flanagan, 201st in the country out of De La Salle, 6'5", 228. Don't be surprised if they take two of those guys in this upcoming class, because there's some really, really talented tight ends out here in the West.
Recruiting calendar for the next 30 days. I know a dead period's coming up. Scott, tell people what the dead period means and what to expect in the next 30 days.
Yeah, dead period just means they can't have any in-person contact, whether it's on their campus or out at camps or anything like that. They just cannot have any kids in for practices, which I don't understand why that's the case. I think there might be something to the fact that a lot of kids are going through fall camp or, you know, they're getting ready for their senior seasons. They don't want these kids to be distracted and not be able to go. And other kids can, because Washington kids don't start their camps until like the 17th or 18th of the month and everything like that. So I think they just said, hey, let's just do a dead period. Let the coaches just focus on getting ready for the season. And then the open period basically starts up on, if it isn't September 1st, it's that first weekend of September, so kids can go to games and things like that. I'm sure you'll see several kids on campus for the Washington Montana game that takes place on September 4th. You'll probably see a few guys at that. Arkansas State will probably have some guys, but the first real game, whatever game three is, I'm not remembering it off the top of my head. What is it? It is Cal, not on 9/25. Hopefully that game isn't one that gets delayed until like 1 o'clock in the morning by lightning this time, yeah. Kim. So, but yeah, it's you know, Washington definitely wants to get some of these guys up for games and let them see what the atmosphere is like at Husky Stadium. And they won't be able to do that during the next 30 days. But once they get them up on campus, it should be full go again. And one of the things the coaches can do is they can still contact kids. They can still do FaceTime. They can still do Zoom calls. They can still you know, call them and text them and all those different things. They just can't get them in the boat. So I don't see anyone who wants to take visits like Hiro Kanu, who's going to visit Washington for the Cal game, is coming up. He's a big time defensive tackle. He's not coming up till the Cal game. But I think anyone who has visited up to this point that wants to commit to Washington is a possibility, but I don't think you'll start really seeing anything happen until probably September.
Numbers, where are we at, Scott?
Well, right now, Washington currently has, and if I remember correctly, it is 11. Is it 11 kids committed? Yeah, no, 10. 10 kids committed. Ryan Otten is the latest. I'm sorry, TJ Hall is the latest. And Ryan committed on Friday. TJ Hall commits on Saturday. There's 10 guys in the class. Washington is only going to take 15 to 17. So you're looking at 5 to 7 more guys in this recruiting class. I know they want to do one more offensive lineman, and that's going to be Josh Connerly, who they're really focused on. And if not him, they might just sit at 2, but there's a chance they could go out and try and get another guy if they really like him. But, you know, they've already got their quarterback in Jackson Stratton, the kid out of San Diego, or he's La Jolla, but down in the San Diego area. They've already got they've got one wide receiver in Jeremy Bernard, and I think they're going to get a second one here pretty soon in Denzel Boston. That'll make it 11 guys in the class. So not a lot of room left. Mecca Megwa is here. He's their one running back in the class that they're going to take. And they got their two tight ends now. So you're probably looking at one more wide receiver, and that'll be Boston. You're probably looking at two more defensive backs and that's probably Benjamin Morrison is their top guy, and then probably another guy like Jaleel Florence, or maybe you might see one more guy pop up on the list, and then And then maybe a linebacker and another defensive lineman. But that's about it. There's just not a lot of room left in this recruiting class.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we need to touch bases on, Scott?
No, Kim. It's just it's going to be fun. It's nice to be back in somewhat of a normal flow. I'm looking forward to 2022 as long as COVID stays at bay and our quote unquote leaders on both sides of the aisle don't get too scared and lock everything down again. I'm really looking forward to us getting back into a full year. Like I'm talking January 1st through late December for recruiting. And I'm looking forward to it next year, getting out to a lot of camps and meeting up with a lot of kids. I think Washington's going to have roughly 22 to 25 spots in the 2023 recruiting class. They're really going to go after guys aggressively. I think you'll see a few more events put on. Washington isn't real big on the events like some other schools, but I think you'll see more events start to happen and things like that. And Washington's going to start playing that game. Plus you have all the, you know, NIL will be almost a year old by the time things get started. And I think some things will be figured out on that front. And you know, it's a brave new world we're living in, Kim. It's a really weird, brave new world that we're living in right now.
Yeah. Things will shake out. They always do.
So. Yeah, I know they do. I mean, we've been around for what? 22 years now? 23?
24 now.
97. Yeah. 97. So 24, actually 25 seasons, 24 years. It's hard to believe, man. It's hard to believe it's been around this long. I became a member in 2000. So I've been around for 21 years myself.
Yeah, so just kind of wild times. But anyways, if you're looking for those daily updates that will start pretty much when the season starts and breaking news alerts, just shoot us a note, huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will hook you up. We haven't been getting them out daily as much because there just hasn't been as much going on, but it is about to pick up. So anyways, again, Husky
Stadium. And Kim, go ahead.
huskystadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will get you hooked up.
You were down at...
Media days.
They did give you this because I had been reporting that the 6th was the report date. That's Friday. And then, Monday is the first practice, but you're hearing possibly Tuesday.
Is that what you're hearing? I'm guessing. I mean, the way they've done it in the past, report on Friday and then Monday we have a media session with the coach and then Tuesday's first day of practice.
Okay. But maybe that's
how they've done it in the past, but I haven't gotten any.
I had heard the schedule is going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is what I've heard that they're going to do, which is basically what spring was. And they'll do that for 3 weeks. And then they'll go into the game week and be ready to go on the 4th.
Hey, one quick note. I ran into, Max Brown. You remember Max at Skyline High School? And people don't know Max that well. First of all, he's a really, really bright, articulate guy. He's not a dummy by any means. And he's done a lot of stuff on YouTube with breaking down X's and O's. And he's going to be working with the Pac-12 Network doing a few games. And he will be up doing color commentary for the Arkansas State game. So congrats to Max. I'm looking forward to that. We'll see what kind of a career he has in front of him. He's also doing commercial real estate down in Los Angeles. But I'm really looking forward to hearing Max because he's got an ability to break things down. I always say it's easy to break things down and to talk, but to be listenable, you know, and be able to communicate. And I think Max is really good at that. So just a little bit of a tidbit from the days down at Media Day down there. So anyways, anything else, Scott?
No, not right now, man. Like I said, things will pick up again as far as visits are concerned in September. But until then, just kind of bide your time. I'll be talking to a lot of kids as they're getting ready for their senior, junior, and sophomore seasons and give you guys as many updates as possible.
Yeah. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.